I'll have a look. No, there's only a bag of peat on the doorstep. Oh, here it is, look, it's indoors. With a yogurt pot or something one day.
Hello, thank you very much. Yes, sure. Right, just this. Anywhere, right. Right. What is this, data post?
No, track back.
Similar sort of thing, is it?
Similar, yeah.
Okay.
Lovely.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye. Get you some toast. Couple of pieces. Okay. No, thank you. I filled up on Wesley. Thank you.
remarkable voice, which he produced in a way that would soon prove ruinous to his vocal cords. It was discovered and managed by a former actor, Barry Mason, who held a group of writing partner of Leighton Weed, and playing out his for Tom Jones, among others. But the time group, he chose a touch voice.
I've decided no. Hey, what's that?
Why did you decide no?
Didn't want to. No, it was nothing to do with the Open University.
Why did you decide no?
I decided it was jolly expensive and wasn't going to do what I felt I wanted it to do.
What were you aiming to achieve?
More confidence, public speaking capability. Down, that's why. Oh, it's not in. Look.
Well, I thought you were making the
turn. Well, I didn't know when you were coming to the table, so I didn't push it down.
The first of three singles by Tommy Bruce and his biggest hit, Ain't This Behavior, got to number three in early summer 1960. And so this morning's first request, which came in an interesting letter from Ken Crosman from Solihull, who said he'd been researching a possible book on the life and career of Michael Holliday, and he heard the occasionally played Starry Eye, and I mentioned it was Mike's first number one of the decade. I thought it might be nice, says Ken, to hear another track by him. My research has shown me, that's from the BBC Written Archives, that you had him on Saturday Club, Will. He obviously did. This was in September 1960, and Ken has discovered that Mike sang five songs on the show, which was a norm for anybody. Paper Roses, Buttons and Bows, and I Can't Believe That You're in Love with Me, One Finger Symphony, and Home Cooking. Don't know if the tapes of that show still exist, he says, but if they do, could you dig into them? Well, they don't. And as Ken then says, if they don't, all is not lost. One Finger Symphony was actually the B-side of Mike's last hit single, Little Boy Lost. Absolutely right, all down the line. Thank you very much for that interesting information, Ken. We'll certainly send you the Sound of the Sixes t-shirt you've covered. Good luck with the book, and here's the disc.
Smells good. It must have done, yes.
Symphony.
deal to Saturday Club and they made many appearances, the Brook brothers, Ricky and his younger brother, Jeff. And my old colleague, producer Jimmy Grant, had great faith in the duo, though I remember what a struggle it was to get five numbers out of them, reasonably in tune. They toured in the late 50s with Cliff Richard, Jimmy Jones, and Bobby Rydell.
What's going to be done today? Shopping? Dear, what are you going to do with them? Do you have a tank?
Mm.
World champion as a 21-year-old. I have my way, nobody under the age of 35 would be allowed to play croquet. Oh, some old buffo. Played it for years, obviously.
Does David take part in any other sport, if you can call that?
No, she doesn't like sport, just likes croquet. What is?
Demolishing galleries and putting new ones in their place.
Oh, yes, yes. Silly. They're certainly ugly buildings, though. very single-minded and selfish, and the men are probably better at that.
Damning comment.
It's probably true. Why not? Well, it's highlighted because of the previous one, isn't it? The student's gone missing all the time.
Oh, but not murdered.
Has she been murdered?
What did it say? Well, you read it.
No.
They're stepping up the hunt for the missing student who failed to turn up for her exam after bloodstains were found in her car parked on the campus.
Mm.
Her former American boyfriend is said to have been obsessed with her.
Quite a good article. Girl missing. Bum 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 bum. Stayed on the corner.
Good gracious. A school dinner, dinner lady. Had a drug deal going with pupils.
Yes, I saw that. Putting cannabis on the dinner tray.
The 12-year-old. The dinner lady said she had no idea the girl was so young. And had understood the purchase was on behalf of her uncle.
How old was the girl?
12. Comment here. Teachers say they are worried about what the rest of the class are doing when they are concentrating on a group of four for testing. Concentrating on a group of children is the typical pattern of everyday teaching in infant classrooms. Does this mean the problem highlighted by SACS has been there? some degree, yes, but you are always overstretched in trying to
cope with different groups, yeah.
And cover everybody adequately, but you are not limited by the extent of a test or the need to cover every children consecutively. And if you're doing groups within your classroom, you're not doing groups all the time with a strict requirement to concentrate only on those children.
You're also experienced at coping with classroom work in that way, and these tests are new and require total concentration from you.
That's right. So you can only concentrate on those four. You can't have interruptions and sort out the child who's just managed to cut themselves with a scissors or is having an argument with someone over whose pencil it is and those sort of things. And also, you might not see all 24 children, or however many you've got, in strict rotational order. Some children at some time may require to be in a group more than once, and other children are busy with a task that doesn't require you to have them in a group that day. Whereas testing is quite different. It's an artificial thing. And also, if you're testing all the time, how do you teach in between? To give the other children a chance to go away and work.
Quite.
I suppose by extending the time for the tests, it means you can spend time in between the tests teaching the rest of the class. Then they can go and write their stories. I mean, in our school, we're very fortunate because, A, our children in prep 3 are able to be told, now go and write a story about bees or...
Yes.
Because you've taught them how to write stories and they've got a certain facility with spelling and lots of dictionaries and that they can use and all this sort of thing. So they can do that, and we also have full-time ancillary help. So there's always someone in the room to say, yes, you can go to the toilet and you spell special like this. And routine questions. Well, that isn't true of all schools. And it's been hard on our children. And Maureen is an exceptionally good teacher and has made it as pleasant as possible for the children.
Yes.
She hasn't put pressure on them, and she, you know, they like being in her group and this sort of thing because she's such a capable teacher.
Sure.
Not everyone has the same talent and facility to do these things, and Maureen's time is a great strain, and the children are not enjoying it as such.
No.
And if they're now going to spread it over 6 weeks, it's sort of, mind you, our children have had it for 6 weeks, it's taken all that time. I mean, I know Maureen was off for a week in the middle. Do you agree with this? Men like doing barbecues because it allows them to indulge in an equipment mania. Outdoor cooking is a man's job.
That is nonsense. I was commenting.
Singing the honeysuckle is only one of the hazards.
Singing the honeysuckle? I was with my back to the honeysuckle, so it'd have to singe me first.
Mosquitoes are a bit of a nuisance. How do you eat? Australians eat standing up with their fingers. Irish seasoning. Oh! One family have installed an old bath alongside the barbecue in which they grow herbs so they can just lean across and strip off what they take from the fancy.
Where would you like your old bath planted, dear?
The bottom of the garden.
No, you wouldn't go and use it.
No, just it's like not for you, it's for the man barbecuing.
Are you going to employ a man to barbecue then?
I have already.
I can't say I've noticed.
Unfortunately, I didn't
have
a very good
job
in the barbecue
tutor. No, you didn't, did you? Funny that.
I went to the Mr. Dickens Festival today.
Who is it?
To pick the train arrived at noon. There's another unusual aspect to this next 50 years. It was the second of two by the Texan Bruce Chanel. But there was a 6-year gap between them. His biggest success in 62 was Hey Baby, which made number two. And then we heard nothing more of him. This is where the US cabaret and television show. Well, Holland Park has got an open air season of opera next week. That would be chilly.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, Covent Garden Market is going to be totally Swedish on Tuesday from 10 till 6.
Oh, how delightful, dear. Are you going?
How am I going to go on Tuesday?
Oh dear. Oh
no.
What's the matter?
Pizza and they're about to be auctioned.
Oh. How boring.
Mr. Garlic has put in a bid for Garlic Hill. Medieval in origin.
Really? What, the street signs? That's
it says origin, it doesn't say.
Oh, the names, yes.
Half need replacing anyway, and there are many new sites now which need. They are about 70 years old, these signs that they're getting rid of.
70?
Mm.
Uh-huh. Hardly medieval then?
No, the origins of the name are.
Yes.
They're going to spend $320,000 making new names for the whole of the city, and they hope to raise that money in the auction to pay for them.
Oh. Well, not short of businessmen in the city, are they? Perfectly good virgins to me.
Would you like some feather-tipped comfort? rather like your shoes that
you're
wearing.
Yes. Shoes that I'm wearing?
The ones you wear all the time.
A little bit they do, don't they? Yes. Yes.
You can't have more than two pairs of one address, I'm afraid. They're only £10. I mean, you could almost send them back at that price if they were no good. Brown and grey. Do you want to be taller than you are, darling?
No,
so
thank
you. Can tower over me.
No, thank you.
You.
Would you like me to tower over you?
Yes.
Oh, I'll stand on the higher step then.
I should buy you some 4-inch shoe heels. Completely undetectable. Looks like normal shoes. Tall people go further in the civil service than short people.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, I read that fascinating bit of information somewhere last week.
A commanding presence, would you think?
No idea. It's something.
Did I hear the pusskin? Come on, puss. It's chilly out there. Isn't it? Oh, some one or two nice things in the weekend, Ruby.
Oh, I suppose I could go wash, etc.
Oh, how sad. A little 7-year-old in Russia was asked. She was looking after 4 of her 10 brothers and sisters. She was not allowed to go to school. When asked what she'd like to be when she grew up, she whispered, nothing. What was her greatest wish? Play.
Oh, you are a daft cat. What's this Open University brochure anyway? Is there anything... Get off that puss! Anything in here?
I think you'd better move the bread if the cat's going to do this.
I don't see why.
Nothing
wrong with a few cat's hairs in the bread, isn't there? Issues in women's studies. Oh, how intensely boring. Oh, yeah, I haven't read that yet. Don't know if the cat demolishes yet.
Thank you. dangerous to know you are, pussy.
I should get away from here before I'm savaged.
What's she doing like that?
Gosh, it's 9:45. Get crackling. Right, I'll go and sort me out. Have you used the bathroom? My God, it's rotten weather, isn't it?
At the end of the three-hour sermon by the Reverend Edward Tatham, rector of Lincoln College till 1834, the only member of the congregation left was found to be dead. One day before Charles II suddenly interrupted his sermon to call out, "Lord Lauderdale, let me entreat you to rouse yourself. You snore so loud you will wake the king."
Cleanest ears in Christendom. Oh no, it's just worn, dear. It has worn out.
the object was leaving that peat out was to load it straight into your... Of course, you didn't want it in your car, did you? You want it here.